Amen. Good, good, good. Wonderful, wonderful. The song service, such a blessing today. Thank you for that special as well. Psalm chapter number 12. What a blessing that song was. Psalm chapter number 12. Today is sermon 6 in this series, which we have titled Purity in Deceitful Times. Psalm 12. Today we're going to be turning our attention to verses 3 and 4. Now, David regarded his society as one of widespread hypocrisy and unfaithfulness, one that was further marked by deceitfulness and treachery. And none of these things are surprising when we consider the fact that a man like King Saul was the one sitting on top of the food chain. And so David went to the Lord. And we noted David's complaint offered about the reduction of the righteous in verse number 1, about the vaunting of the vile in verse number 8, and about the dishonest dialogue in verse number 2 that was sweeping the land. Now, friend, I'm ready to jump into the message. I hope you're ready to jump with me. So go ahead and stand with me this morning as we have a firm foundation to take that leap from. Amen. Psalm 12. Today we're just going to read a couple of verses from this psalm. I want us to read verses 3, 4, and 5 together. Psalm 12, verses 3, 4, and 5. Everybody ready? The Bible says, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who hath said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." And all God's people said, thank you, and you may be seated. Purity in deceitful times. Now, if you've ever had to give a letter of recommendation or be a reference for someone you weren't particularly thrilled about, I think you're going to enjoy this. A professor at a university put together a collection of virtually litigation-proof phrases for such occasions. And the acronym he gave it was LIAR, or the Lexicon of Intentionally Ambiguous Recommendations. And here are a few of his examples. If you have to describe an inept person, say, "I enthusiastically recommend this candidate with no qualifications whatsoever." If you have to describe an ex-employee who had problems getting along with his fellow workers, write, "I am pleased to say that this candidate is a former colleague of mine." To describe an applicant, "Not worth considering," say, "I would urge you to waste no time in making this candidate an offer of employment." And to describe a lazy employee, "You will be lucky if you can get him to work for you." So, I enjoyed those. So here in Psalm 12, to date, we've seen David voice the complaint in prayer. And now David is going to express his confidence that the Lord is going to handle all of these issues that he was facing. Make no mistake, those that make society a sewer will be sentenced. But my friend, how heartening that God hears the prayers of his people and defends them in deceitful times. Are you in trouble this morning? Pray. Help, Lord. Equally encouraging, God not only hears prayers, praise God for that, but God also answers prayer. In verse 1, David said, "Help, Lord." And now God is promising action in verses 3, 4, and 5 to remedy the deceitfully evil situation that David faced. Friend, God did it for David, and he'll do it for you. Just pray and trust, pray and trust, pray and trust. And so in verses 1, 2, and 8, we've seen David's complaint offered. Number 2, our second major point of Psalm 12, is going to be in verses 3 through 5, David chastises offenders. Now today we're going to focus on the words of men, which, by the way, will be contrasted with the words of God before Psalm 12 closes. Men's words are the weapons of the wicked. God's words are the safety of the saints. Men's words are worthless. God's words are weighty. Men's words are flattering and false and fanatical. God's words are pure. They're proven and they are preserved. Men's words ensnare and slay men. God's words enlighten and save men. Men's words damn and deceive men. God's words deliver and direct men. My friends, there is simply no comparison between the words of sinful men and the words of our gracious, delightful, magnificent Heavenly Father. David chastises offenders. Two thoughts here. We'll consider the first this morning in verses 3 and 4. And Brother Scott, is what I'm going to call the cessation of the boastful and proud. The cessation of the boastful and proud. Look at our text in verse number 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? Now, two great crises that David faced in his life had to do with the sinful tongue of wicked men. First, from King Saul. King Saul used lies to deceive his leaders about David, and as a result, David had to live as a fugitive on the run out in the elements for 14 years of his life. After David became king, sometime later, his son Absalom used flattery to poison the minds of the populace, and he led an insurrection against his daddy David. Mark it down. Don't be surprised. The enemy loves to use the weapon of the sinful tongue to hurt and harm God's tender doves. But their day is coming. The cessation of the boastful and proud. The first thing I want you to notice is the prevaricating tongue. Look at verse number 3. This will take up about half the sermon. The prevaricating tongue. The Bible says the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. Church, there is an end game. There is a lake of fire that is waiting for all who use their tongue to work iniquity. And I want you to notice that it is the Lord's doing. Verse number 3 says, the Lord shall cut off. That great dreaded judgment in the book of Revelation is of the Lord, and it includes the liar. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. As we run through this list of sinners, I mean the worst of the worst, I want you to notice the emphasis at the end. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all, underscore that A-double-L, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Question. What is having flattering lips but to have lying lips? Because the very definition of flattery includes things like beguiling, insincerity, and false praise. And preachers, unfortunately, are guilty of this sort of thing all the time, and we do our people a great disservice. Was Jesus Christ a flatterer? Friend, if you choose flattery, you're going to frequently face the choice of fudging the truth, avoiding the truth, telling a half-truth, or you can just tell the truth. Understand, anything but pure, unadulterated truth is a lie. By way of exhortation, My friends, practice an open relationship of absolute truth-telling in your marriage. No secrets, nothing separate, nothing off-limits. Young people, if you are to ever enjoy such a God-blessed marriage, then you need to start preparing now by being absolutely honest with everything concerning mom and dad. Because it translates. If you're keeping things from mom and dad now, my friend, when you get into a marriage, you are going to deceive and you are going to hide things from your mate, and it's going to be destructive to that relationship. As we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ and the corresponding rise of the Antichrist, it's not surprising that we as a society are getting more and more comfortable with lying. But I want to remind us this morning that a lie is destructive to everything that it touches. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 28, a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Did you know that there's actually a direct connection between flattery and lying? Psalm chapter 78 and verse 36, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. And they did lie unto him with their tongues. Flattery and lying. The cessation of the boastful and proud. My friend, if you ever had any doubts whatsoever how God is going to deal with those who have flattering lips, our friend Job brings absolute clarity to the matter. Job chapter 32 and verse number 21. Job said, neither let me give flattering titles unto man, for I know not to give flattering titles. In doing so, my Maker would soon take me away. Verse 3 of our text here in Psalm 12 confers the same thing to us. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. You say, shh, preacher, I'm sure glad this is Old Testament. Let me share with you what Paul said in the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words. God's position hasn't changed. Paul was a man who was very careful to not be a person who practiced flattery. Brother Danny, in season and out of season, the saints should speak truth with their speech. In the home and out of the home. In the church and out of the church. A preacher of old said this. He said, one never errs more safely than one errs by too much loving of the truth. His finger was right on the pulse. We must always be honest, even though telling the truth to people may not always be the easy way out. Brother John, matter of fact, most of the time it's not. I was reminded of that freshly yesterday. And every year at this time of season. See, I think I make the most wonderfully delicious and delightful cornbread dressing there is. I mean, it's to die for. But Josiah told me yesterday, he said, Dad, are you making that dressing again this year? I said, well, yes, we're going to be having it. And I said, why, do you not like it? And I could tell he wasn't very pleased with it. He said, well, no, Dad, I don't. I said, well, why is it getting eaten every single year? The pan's empty. He said, Dad, when you're not looking, we just put it in the trash. We must always be honest. Even though telling the truth to someone may not be the easy way out. Listen, Brother Lord, God wants us to be successful. And so the Scripture warns us about flattery because flattery results in failure. Job chapter 17 and verse number 5. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. It has an impact. It has an influence. When we tell lies, it tears down our testimony. When we tell lies, it constrains the cause of Christ in this world. One man said, what upsets me is not that you lied to me. It's but that I can no longer believe you. When we tell lies in the presence of those who are unsaved, Why then should we expect them to trust us when we tell them the truth about the gospel? When we tell lies in the presence of a weaker believer, why then should we expect them to trust us when we exhort them to mature in the faith? Are you listening? When there is a disregard for truth, or when a regard for truth has been broken down or even slightly weakened in our life by our lies, all things will remain doubtful. Is that not exactly where we are in the majority of our churches? In our country? The lies have caused doubt everywhere. Purity in deceitful times. Friend, don't be sullied by the sin of lying. Yes, but also number two, not only don't be sullied by the sin of lying, but practice separation from the sin of liars. Now, squishy independent Baptist today don't like to talk much about separation, but Brother Hicks, I rejoice and I praise God for the fact that separation will never be silenced or separated from the pages of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "Meddle not with him that flattereth with the lips." That sounds like separation. A few things quickly by way of practical application. Form friendships with those who will speak the truth and tell you the truth about yourself. Those are faithful friends. Form friendships with those who will speak the truth to you about yourself. At the same time, learn to avoid the brown nosers who always tell you exactly what you want to hear. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Brother Matt, can I tell you this morning that I've received more wounds from the words of Jesus Christ than I have from any other single source in my life combined. Yet I have no closer friend than Him. The Bible says Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I found that to be true. Faithful are the wounds from a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Let me ask you a question. When you see a brother or sister involved in sin, how do you respond? Do you resort to flattery? It's okay, you're only human. Everybody does it. We're all sinners. Or do you tell them the truth? Brother, you need to repent. Sister, you need to get right with the Lord on that. Make things right. Ask for the Lord's forgiveness. He's so good and gracious to us. God says we should be truthful. And I tell you what, that tender and compassionate word spoken in that moment to that brother, to that sister, is consequential. And not just for them. For the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 23, "He that rebuketh a man afterwards," watch this, "shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the lips." If we desire God to be for us, we have to be a people of truth. Then the Bible says God will give us favor. And this is practical stuff, friend, because we all face it on a day-to-day basis. When you know someone's lying to you, and more times than not we know, right? When you know somebody is lying to you, do you address it? Or do you just let it slide? We face that at work. We face it at home. Certainly on the car lot. Lying is just a way of life. In a book about America, the following has been put forth. It said 91% of those surveyed said they lie routinely about matters they consider trivial. 36% lie about important matters. 86% lie regularly to parents. 75% lie regularly to their friends. 73% lie regularly to their siblings, and 69% said they lie regularly to their spouses. There's the destruction of the family unit we talked about last week. People even lie in church. I've talked to folks over the years, and I know they are straight up lying to my face. Not necessarily maliciously, but it's become so natural for them. Such a way of life for them that it just now rolls off in casual conversation. It doesn't even affect them. You know, the person who thinks it's permissible to tell so-called white lies soon becomes colorblind. John Wesley said this. He said, "I would not tell one lie to save the souls of the whole world." Oh, how far we've fallen from that standard. You say, "Pastor, I'm not sure I like the way this sermon is going." One preacher said, "If it's rubbing you the wrong way, turn the cat around." Listen, it's never been popular. And it's never been easy. But today in America, it comes with a special disdain. Nevertheless, my friend, more than ever, the church must speak truth to this culture. Amen. Truth about sexual sin. Truth about pornography. Truth about alcohol. And truth about pride. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 24, "He that saith to the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him." That's part of what's wrong with our churches today. My friend, all of these verses, they are combining to paint one big undeniable picture for us today, and that is God does not want His people to be people of flattery. Brother Bryan, if for no other reason, because that is one of the chief characteristics of the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 21, the Bible says, "But he," the Antichrist, "but he shall come in peaceably," watch this, "and obtain the kingdom by flattery." Isn't that something? Satan is a smooth talker. So good, in fact, that he can even make something like taking the mark of the beast sound proper and right. Verse 3 says, "God shall cut off all flattering lips." And church, if the Antichrist can't escape that judgment, neither shall the sons of men. Oh, my precious friends, this morning, when we see lying and flattery and deceit for what it is, and we confess it, and we repent of it, the unbelievable freedom and freeness you gain will amaze you. The weight of that sin lifted. Wow! And the fellowship with God will be as fresh or fresher than you have ever remembered it. We're talking about the cessation of the boastful and proud. In the first part of verse 3, we saw the prevaricating tongue. Now look at the rest of verse number 3. I want to talk to you for just a minute about the proud tongue. Look at verse 3. "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things." Now flattery is the offspring of pride. Pride is the daddy. It's the original sin. Proud words come from the mouth, which comes from the heart, which sets a man at odds with God. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift into running into mischief, hands that shed innocent blood, a false witness which speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Did you notice that number one on God's hate list is a proud look, followed very closely by a lying tongue? Brother Doug, of the seven things that God said He hates, two deal with lying and deceit, three deal with the sinful tongues of men. Did you notice number six on that list? God said He hates the false witness which speaketh lies. The sin of lying, we said it was destructive. It is just like its daddy, pride, which is destructive. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 18, you know the verse well. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Folks who have trouble telling the truth are normally folks who are extremely proud. You know why that is? Got to keep up the image. Got to keep up the status. And in a great way, Instagram and Facebook platforms are a magnification of this problem. It is a cause for the shipwrecking of our society. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Folks on those platforms, they can alter their appearance any way they want to. You can make somebody like me look handsome. You can alter your face. You can alter your body. Even your very life. It's fake. It's deceitful. And what's the point behind doing all that? Pride and acceptance. Verse number 3 says, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. My friends, be careful, be wise on social media. Might be a good idea this week, while you have a little more time to think about some things, might be a good time to sit back and examine your purpose for being on it. Now, if it's good, carry on. If it's wholesome, carry on. If it's not, just give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. I will say this to you this morning as your pastor. If you're spending more time on social media than you are with your God, in your Bible, and in prayer, it's a problem for you, and you need to make some adjustments. Psalm 12 is an exhortation for God's people to remain pure in deceitful times. Well, we saw the prevaricating tongue and the proud tongue. Number 3 this morning, let's go to verse 4, and let's notice the presumptuous tongue. Verse 4 says this, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? David has identified these jokers to the T. Every single one of them. Did you know one mark of a spirit-filled man is his ability to detect lies and liars and to avoid them? Can I tell you that one thing has saved me a lot of pain in the ministry? I choose my fellowship very carefully. The presumptuous tongue. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? It's the old, I'll say whatever I feel like when I feel like saying it attitude. They hold nothing back, and in so doing they make a fool of themselves. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 11, a fool uttereth all of his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Yap, 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 yap. Talk, 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 talk. And it's usually not pleasant. I tell you, if their mouth was a cannon, they could have single-handedly won World War II for the United States of America. On a windswept hill in an English country churchyard stands a drab gray slate tombstone. The faint etchings read, beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. Don't let that be the first time you tame your tongue. Friend, God pity the household where the words are sharp and contentious. Our tongue can be a great liability if it is not under the control of the Spirit of God. So many who claim the name of Christ act as if their tongue is their own. And Brother Earl, they can't. Or rather, I say, they will not control their tongue. And there's something majorly wrong with that. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, notice that, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain, the Bible says. Irony of all ironies, not controlling your tongue is associated with deception and vanity, i.e. lying and pride, the very context of verses 3 and 4 here in Psalm 12. God gives us some very simple instructions regarding our communication. James chapter 1 and verse number 19, the Bible says, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. There it is right there. A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that wise old bird? Bit plain and straight. My friend, it is sinful to let whatever's on our mind come spewing out of our mouth like a fire hydrant. Where's the self-control? I.e. temperance, a fruit of the Spirit that is to be the hallmark of the child of God. And should we need to be reminded, my friend, let me remind you that the precious Lord Jesus Christ paid a very hefty price for that loose cannon that sits under the nose. One man said this. He said, I have often regretted my speech, but never my silence. Another said, look wise, say nothing, and grunt. Did you know that so often the difference between living a victorious Christian life and being nothing more than an old doormat for the devil consists of about four or five things left unsaid? Brother, be careful what you say to your wife and children. You can't take those words back. And your words are like a stone and they crush their tender spirits. Sister, I caution you. And your constant condescending tone to your husband, it's demoralizing him. Now, you may never strike somebody with a fist, but you don't hesitate to strike somebody with your words, which, my friends, tend to do more damage in the long run. Can I just tell you, a man that verbally abuses his wife in the home is a coward.
Right.
A coward. God placed the man in the home to be the protector, not the tear down. It is more shamefully grievous for the husband, but sometimes the truth of the matter is that the table's turned around. It's the wife that is constantly lashing out and constantly berating her husband and refuses to speak anything peaceably to him. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. I know you say, but if that's your house, so as by fire. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace. If we practice that, Brother Bynum, then we would know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. When you come home, sir, if mama has been with the kids all day, she is weary.
Yeah.
Speak a word in season. When he comes home from work, ma'am, he is weary from the work and dealing with the people at work. Speak a word in season. The Christian home should be marked by kind words. Faithful rebukes. It should be marked by an honest confession of faith and honest convictions, and the tender speech in the home should be one that edifies to increase godliness among the members of the home. And there's enough. There's more than enough. More than enough decisive and combative speech in the marketplace. Don't bring that into the home. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In the power of the tongue. Power for good or power for evil. Don't be a wishbone. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I would have waited. I wish I had a different tone. It was once written, if your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care, to whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how and when and where. Good advice. We've said a few words for our home. Now a few final thoughts this morning. Look back at verse number 4 one more time. Talking about the presumptuous tongue. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Now, a quick observation. That's the speech of atheism. Men are responsible for the words that they speak. Unless you think this is confined to the Old Testament, let me tell you what Jesus Christ said. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, Jesus said this, but I say unto thee that for every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof. Watch this, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So yes, you're free to say what you want to say, but understand, my friend, it's all being recorded. It's the ultimate spyware. And it can and it will be used as evidence of guilt on the day of judgment. The life we live includes the words that we speak, and we shall give an account for both. For good or for evil, even a short speech outlives the lips that utter it. So think about that the next time you feel that tongue starting to get a little loose. Still, there may be some who are still bent on speaking their mind no matter the cost to others. And if you would be so brazen, allow me to be so bold as to remind you that you have an upcoming appointment with a thrice holy God, and He will reckon with you about that. Learn to agree with God against yourself. Start speaking heaven's way today. The presumptuous tongue. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Final thought. Did you know most tyrants ascend to power with the tongue? The easiest example to think of is Adolf Hitler, a dynamic speaker. You ever seen those black and white clips of Hitler giving a speech? Now, unless you know German, you don't understand a word he's saying. But it's easy to detect the power in his speech. And so he influenced many to follow his evil ambitions. Did you know? That's exactly how the Antichrist is going to rise to power in the tribulation. The ultimate tyrant will rise to power through the power of his tongue. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and to them that dwell in heaven. Let me tell you, men are drawn to that. Why do you think Hollywood sells? But what a blessed and sweet thought, church, that though the Antichrist will rise to power through his tongue, that, my friend, it is also by the tongue that the Antichrist will be defeated. When the Son of God comes back at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus descends in power and great glory there at the Battle of Armageddon, the Bible teaches in Revelation chapter 19 that a sharp sword will come out of His mouth. That's His Word. And the Word of God, the Word of Jesus, will cut the Antichrist asunder and decimate him and his armies. And God gave us a blessed foreshadowing of that moment. It's found in John chapter 18 and verse number 6. where Jesus said this in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Roman soldiers approached Him, approached those in the garden looking for Jesus, and they were asking, which one is Jesus Christ? And Jesus stood up and He said, I am He. And the Roman soldiers, they went backward and fell to the ground. See, friends, the same mouth that spake creation into existence will have no trouble whatsoever speaking the Antichrist down into the bottomless pit. Psalm 12, purity in deceitful times. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me this morning as we draw to a close. Brother Doug, what a powerful word we have. Church, a powerful word. And even though we are living in dark days, my friend, I want to remind you that you have a divine deliverer. He saw David through his darkest hour. And my friend, He has sworn by His own name to do the same for you. The greatest defense against wickedness, it is not just the working of God without, but it's also the working of God within. So learn by faith to trust God to fight your battles without. And learn by faith to trust God and allow Jesus Christ to give you His peace within. His grace is sufficient. Did you notice over the past 2 weeks how many times the book of Proverbs was referenced? Do you know why that is? Friend, it's because we need wisdom. If we're going to remain pure in deceitful times, we need wisdom in dealing with the sinful tongue. We need wisdom dealing with our communication. Lord, help us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word.